Transportation Conference Committee to order. Today's Friday, May 20th, 2022, and we're running a little bit late here. It's 2:20. This is a hybrid meeting, so it'll be online and we're in person. The CA will, or the LA will take the amendment or the attendance.
All right, Chair John Nelson.
Present.
Representative Nash.
Nash is present.
Present. Representative Murphy.
Murphy present.
Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein present.
Representative Cagle.
Present.
Senator Kiffmeyer. Present. Senator Newman. Senator Newman.
No, Senator Newman is at a funeral for his daughter-in-law.
Duly noted.
He will come online if needed, but if we could let him just be at his family funeral, be good.
Certainly. Senator Howe. Senator Howe. Senator Jasinski. Senator Jasinski. Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble. Mr. Chair, quorum is present.
On our agenda today, I keep forgetting to turn that mic on. I've got three amendments here from the transportation part, for the transportation part of the bill. Representative Hornstein, do you want to make those motions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are a few small provisions that Senator Newman and I have agreed to include in the conference committee report. These are posted online and included in member packets. So just by way of explanation, these are technical changes that our staff has caught on non-controversial items that have been agreed to already. And so I would move adoption of the working agreement identified in the document entitled HF 4293 Conference Committee Transportation Policy Articles, Provisions for Discussion 52022. These are the clarifications I mentioned and cleanup to the adopted same and similar. So we have already adopted these, Mr. Chair, and again, just making some technical corrections. The other one is a cleanup for the salvage title and brand bill provisions that were enacted separately. So the motion includes the SCH 4293 A80 amendment, the H 4293 A59 amendment, and the SCH 4293 A85 amendment. So that is what is before us, Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Hornstein. I also see on the item number four on there, it says staff, a correction to staff to include 26B in place of 24B. Is that also your intention to include that in the working agreement?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Members' discussion.
Mr. Chair, before I just want to let you know that the Senate members have a quorum. They are logged in online, but they're also on the floor, so double duty, but we have a quorum for the Senate.
This time of year, we do a lot of multitasking. So any discussion on this working agreement that we have here that includes the A80 amendment, the A59 amendment, the A85 amendment, and then to include 26B in place of 24B, that's on this working agreement. If not, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The amendments, working agreement, the amendments therein are adopted. Thank you, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
The next item we have here, which order do we want to take them in? Why don't we start with the newspaper one? It's what I've got on top of my stack here. It's the SCH 4293A102 amendment. And this was a House, or excuse me, this was a Senate provision. And there was, trying to get it worked out so that it works for the newspapers, works for everybody involved. And Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want to make the amendment or the motion and then describe the rest of the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the SCH 4293, the A102 amendment. And members, for a long, long time, we've had a publication in our newspapers of a sample ballot requirement, which has often led to some confusion. Our voters think that is what everybody has, when we all know different school districts in the same area, different wards, a whole variety of things. So the goal has been to get better information with this required publication. And so what this language does here is an agreement from the Newspaper Association, the counties and the cities, and the Secretary of State office in regards to a notice. So instead of calling it a sample notice, and this notice has some changes to when, which is 20 to 10 days prior to, instead of 15 to 2 days before. It also, this notice is collaboration with the stakeholders, design the notice, full page in the newspaper, except in metro areas, it may be sized differently, but contain the same information. And the Secretary of State will do that with the stakeholders. And this can include information such as their ballots, of course, names of candidates on the ballot, their political party, same information as on a sample ballot, but also additional information to the Secretary of State website, to the My Ballot feature, to the county website, municipal as well, and then contact information with a phone number and email address for a voter who might want to have their actual sample ballot that comes specific to their address be mailed out to them. So it has that information. The rest of that is effective date and applicability to all areas like this, and then also reimbursable local expenses. And that is an explanation, Mr. Chair. I'd be glad to answer questions.
Members, any questions on the 8102 amendment? Seeing no hands popping up online and seeing nobody here raising their hand. So all in favor of the motion was made. So all in favor of the A102 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The newspaper amendment is adopted. The next one I have here is Senator Howe. I believe this is coming from you about the Legislative Commission on Cybersecurity. Senator Curran, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Senator Curran is coming from, okay.
It's being brought forward by Senator Howe.
It's being brought, yes.
It's from the commission.
It's from the commission, yes. Yeah. Senator Curran is brought this forward from the commission. Senator Howe, do you want to make the motion on the SJJ0026?
I'm so moved.
And members, what this does is it allows at certain times, the Legislative Commission on Cybersecurity to hold closed door meetings when they're discussing things about security that they don't want to be public. And that's what the amendment does. And this came out of the commission, and the people, it's a bipartisan commission that, mm-hmm. that works on these issues. So.
Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is also agreed to by the Commissioner of IT office as well. They've reviewed the language. And I would also say that it's really important that this particular commission have access to data that would not otherwise be public for very good reasons for cybersecurity. On the other hand, the ability for the commission members to be of value and be helpful to the Minute and other entities like this, and so this language has been approved by both the commission and then the other entities. Thank you, Senator Howe.
Any further questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair, it's Representative Lyon.
Representative?
Mr. Chair, it's Representative Nash online.
Nash.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a good piece of policy. I am also on this commission, and this is so that legislators can make informed decisions about very sensitive cybersecurity issues. As somebody who works in cybersecurity professionally, this is something that is necessary and needed and will help us advocate for important issues here at the Capitol to our colleagues without having to allow that information to be posted online so that the bad guys can know what's going on. So thank you, and I urge a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor of adopting the SJJ0026 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, the motion's adopted.
I think we have to reconsider this first.
Yep. And the next we have here, earlier we adopted an A86 amendment dealing with language of grants to nonprofits. And we've been working out, there's been some issues that have come up on this since we put it into the bill. So I'm going to move that we reconsider the adoption of the A86 amendment.
Yes.
And Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you.
You want to explain this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A86 is pertaining to the nonprofit section. And so after conversation with the Department of Administration, Senator Benson, and a variety of other folks, the goal is here to reconsider the 886 and then not adopt it. And in its place, we have the SJJ0027, much simpler, but parties agree that this would be very helpful. And so I would make a motion to reconsider the 886.
Motion's been made to reconsider the A86 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The A86 amendment's been reconsidered. Now, Senator Kiffmeyer, if you want to move the 027 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the SJJ0027. And I've previously explained it, but what this does is it creates current language creates general grants management policies and procedures by the Department of Administration. And the previous language is said that is are applicable to executive agencies. What we've done here is strike the are applicable to and insert that procedures that all executive agencies must follow.
And for the people that are online, what it says, that line would go and create general grants, management policies, and procedures that all executive agencies must follow. Any questions from the members on that amendment? See no hands up and nobody jumping up online. All in favor of the SJJ0027 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Motion's adopted. Any other business? Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to make that motion that I had attempted. Was that yesterday? I don't know. The days are all rushing, all blending together. But at our most recent meeting. I know you had requested something in writing, but when I asked for something in writing, they said that's not a thing because I'm just moving language that is in the House bill already. So is that all right if I just make a
If you make your motion.
Motion?
You have a motion, Rick.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, I would like to move inclusion in the conference committee reports, the language that is found in the House language in two parts. The first would be found on page R4-A2, section 3, which is seen on lines 15.9 through 15.22. as well as R61-A2, section 69. These are both in Article 2, by the way. And that would be all of the language on lines 66.1 to 66.23. And I would like to request a roll call for my motion.
A roll call has been requested.
Thank you.
It'll be granted.
And to my amendment, Mr. Chair. So this has to do with two subjects. One has to do with Juneteenth and the recognition of Juneteenth, which we already do in state law, Mr. Chair, but this simply aligns the date with the larger larger number of states. So it would be specifically June 19th. We were the fourth state in the nation to recognize Juneteenth as a holiday. And the current law is a day of observance in which the governor issues a proclamation honoring the observance, recognizing the important contributions of African Americans and the contributions they've made to our communities, culture, and economy. It does not extend the full benefits or recognition associated with the holiday. Like I said, the current law does not match the holiday. It says currently the third Saturday in June instead of June 19th. Which is the important day that on which June 19th is recognized. Black Independence Day commemorates the day the Emancipation Proclamation was read to the remaining 250,000 enslaved peoples in Texas. So much like Independence Day is not simply a given day of the week, we recognize it on the fourth day in July. This language doesn't cost anything. All costs are minimal or absorbed. They're just some minor administrative efforts. It has had bipartisan support in your chamber, Mr. Chair. And when the federal holiday was declared, Minnesota's congressional delegation unanimously supported the effort. The second part of my amendment has to do with House language, having to do with Indigenous Peoples Day. And the reason many feel that this is important is because it's important to understand the effect and impact of genocide and colonialism on Native people. And this is an effort to really educate and build a bridge and build across a gap of understanding. It is interesting to know that prior to European settlement in this continent, there were around 60 million people here. And within 100 years, through disease, warfare, forced work, only 5 to 6 million remained. 90% of those who lived here were gone. Specifically with respect to Christopher Columbus, he was largely regarded as a hero and a man of his time and an explorer, et cetera. What is probably less known is the very brutal treatment that he was responsible for to Native people through present-day Haiti and the Dominican Republic, enslavement, massacres, et cetera. In fact, was incarcerated for his conduct after he exited public service here in the New World, as it were. And in fact, the Italian-American Federation of the United States supported renaming the day to Italian American Heritage Day. So there is some recognition of the complexity and the downsides of some of his historical legacy. So that is my motion and my explanation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. And I've been notified there's a couple people that want to speak on that if you want to approach the table. And please identify yourself for the record when you speak and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Edward Reynoso. I'm the Political and Legislative Affairs Director for Teamsters Local 320. First of all, apologies for not being here yesterday. I was across the street and they had a big event going across the street. And maybe 30 years ago, I would have been able to run over here, but yesterday I just wasn't fast enough. So, secondly, thank you for the second opportunity to testify on this issue again. As you know, this is somewhat important for us as an organization with the Teamsters. You know, I was somewhat disheartened yesterday when I heard the Senate majority proclaim that the Senate was against this provision. You know, my hope is that you please hear us out today and hopefully reconsider. I'm not here to give you a history lesson, but I am here to explain a little of this historical significance of what June 19th, 1865 is. You know, I know there's one school teacher in here at least, Representative Mary Murphy is a former school teacher, and I'm sure she could attest that, you know, the reality is that our classroom textbooks proclaim President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of January 1st, 1863 as the date signaling the end of slavery, and mentioned little to nothing of June 19th, 1865, which truly is the date that slavery ended in our country. Now, we celebrate July 4th, 1776 as our National Day of Independence, but independence and freedom didn't come for all Americans until 89 years later. Here's what happened on June 19th, 1865, and what it recognizes on this date. General Granger marched into Galveston, Texas, with federal troops and announced and read to the people of Texas General Order Number 3, which proclaimed, and I quote, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor," end quote. This was ordered because 2.5 years later, Texas was still the last holdout state that refused to abide by the Emancipation Proclamation by President Abraham Lincoln. Mr. Chair and members, we can't right the wrongs on our forefathers' mistakes and absolute inhumane treatment of human beings because of the color of their skin. But we can do, what we can do as Americans is to celebrate the date that workers whose skin just happened to be black had the right to demand pay for their labor, and at the end of the day, had the freedom to go home to their family or wherever they chose to go. As of last year, our federal government has observed June 19th as a federal holiday. And as Senator Dibble had just mentioned, our entire delegation, both Republican and Democrat, voted unanimously in favor of it. In Texas, New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Washington, and Illinois, Juneteenth is an official paid holiday for state employees. There is absolutely no cost to this holiday as the money has already been allocated for our state public employees. Additionally, and I want to make this clear because there's some confusion in this, the private sector employers would not be required, just as 4th of July, to give time off. There's no requirement in the law that would require overtime pay or time and a half. You know, last time I came here to testify on this, I mentioned to you that this would be easy peasy, and I specifically used those words. It is the easiest provision for this committee to adopt. I still believe it is, and I plead with you that you do so for these communities. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Reynoso. Again, turning the microphone on for myself. The gentleman to your right, if you want to introduce yourself, or the lady to the left, to his left.
This is on? Okay, good. I'm Helen Montgomery. I am the president of Leech Lake Tribal College, which is located on the Leech Lake Nation up north in Cass Lake, Minnesota. And I wanted to talk about the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day today. I certainly will not be as prepared or eloquent as our previous speaker, although I support everything you said. I wanted to also not engage in a history lesson because I am sure everyone in this room is more learned in history than I am. What I wanted to talk about is an educator who works in Indian country or Native American higher education. And I wanted to talk about the students and the families that I see in my community and why this day is important to them. The indigenous people of this country were the first caretakers of this land. The indigenous people of this country were the first citizens of this state, or what became this state. And I see the recognition of this day not as an exclusionary practice or a divisive practice, but rather as an inclusionary and an honoring practice, honoring the people who welcome visitors here and help them sustain their life through teaching them their practices, their values, and their spiritual guidances. It's important for me to see students in my college, to see people in my community who are honored by the current residents of this state by having a day allocated to them, to the recognition of their culture and practices. I think as a government and as a people, we set aside special occasions like birthdays, unfortunately, funerals when we say goodbye to those who have left us, and other occasions. These days are the same. These days are days of recognition and honoring a people, a spirituality, a lifestyle, and a practice that existed here for a long time before the European settlers came. So it would be instrumental to our indigenous students, not only in higher education, but also in K-12 education, to have that day set aside for their people, and to have an opportunity for educators to have a day where they can plan education around these people and these communities. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you.
My name is Lee Jordan. I'm the Midwestern State Director for the National Juneteenth, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm just here to speak to the idea and the thought that I have that none are free until we all are free. So it's important that we have information and share information on the history that has been hidden or not actually quickly brought to the attention of the people that it affects mostly. So I just want to, just once again, hope to see you all at a Juneteenth celebration. There's about four or five of them across the cities, but please, please keep Juneteenth and any other celebration that commemorates history and the importance of people of color in history. And thank you for the moment to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. And I understand we have on Zoom Meredith, and I don't have the last name, but please, if you want.
Yes, sir. My name is Meredith Moore. I'm born and raised, was educated here in Minnesota, and now I'm a business owner and a proud tax-paying homeowner in Mendota Heights. Thank you for the opportunity to testify for the second time on behalf of Juneteenth being recognized as a holiday. I, like the other speakers, won't repeat the history that we've already shared. What I wanted to share was simply why June 19th is an important day for us to celebrate and really uplift, not only for those of us in the Black community, but for us as a state. I always loved watching fireworks on the 4th of July because my birthday is the next day. But growing up as a Black Minnesotan, we celebrated our freedom on June 19th. And it was odd to me, often being the only Black person in the room in school and workplaces, that I would be the one to educate my colleagues and my peers about the importance of what has happened in our country and the journey that we're still walking today towards equality in understanding each other's cultures and understanding how we've gotten to where we are today at this moment in time. And it might seem odd to you, but Frederick Douglass said it best. What is to the American slave the 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than any other day in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. Starting at that young age, I understood the importance of June 19th. And I understood how, even if it wasn't the experience of others, it's still relevant and an important part of our country and our state continuing to grow, advance, and evolve. Juneteenth represents a chance when our families had a chance to reunite, to celebrate our freedom and our progress, as well as our commitment to building this country. Honoring Juneteenth as a paid state holiday is part of recognizing our country's progress, and I hope that you will uphold the House's position in moving this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Representative Cagle, I understand you wanted to say something.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just kind of wanted to share a story. I was with my grandma's a while back, and I think, you know, a lot of our grandparents or parents have these, you know, family lineage books. And I was looking through mine and noticed that there was a section in there about the killing of 38 Dakota people in Mankato, and that one of my ancestors was somebody that was there participating in that. So when I saw that, it was, you know, a little, it was jarring, but I'm glad I learned that, because I can't change the past, but I can help change the future. And so seeing that in my own family was kind of a little bit of a light bulb about, you know, what position I'm in to make sure that people understand what others have gone through. Another embarrassing thing too is I didn't know about the Tulsa massacre until I watched the show Watchmen on HBO. These aren't things that were taught in school. I'm 40 years old and I didn't know that until a few years ago. That's sad. And having these holidays would give us a little bit of recognition, maybe allow people to think and reflect on where we have been in the past so that we can make sure that we're working towards a better future. Like I said, we can't change the past, but we can change the future. And I think that this would be a positive step in the right direction. So thank you.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, yesterday, this motion was brought up without prior notice, without discussion, without the courtesy of talking to the chairs of this conference committee. Now, certainly that's the right to do so, but we've tried to act here in a very collegial way to have these discussions and work things through so that we can bring things forward in a regular way. So, any statements yesterday pertain to the fact that any time a surprise amendment comes up in an effort to just push it through is not well received by me and as the leader of our conference committee. That is the basis for doing that. So back to this Juneteenth. Let's be sure that everybody knows that Juneteenth is current law. I will read you current law. The third Saturday of each year, the third Saturday in June, is designated Juneteenth in recognition of the historical pronouncement of the abolition of slavery on June 19, 1865, when the Emancipation Proclamation was said to have been first publicly read in Texas by Union soldiers led by General Granger. The announcement came 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, and 2 months after General Lee's surrender in April 1865. Juneteenth and emancipation celebrations have been commonplace in Minnesota since 1889 as a result of community-based grassroots efforts. We're very glad for that, very, very glad for that, realizing that Abraham Lincoln's picture hangs above the House dais. And it is that president that was the one responsible for the tremendous leadership in the abolition of slavery and the Emancipation Proclamation. And it was the North, Minnesota, part of that North. We actually were a state at that time, not, we didn't have all our states yet, but the North in those days fought greatly for your freedom, for the freedoms of the slaves. And especially as a Republican, we're especially grateful for the fact that our first Republican president happens to be Abraham Lincoln. And so we're very, very grateful for that, and a lot of blood was shed to accomplish it. led to a civil war, very, very hurtful civil war, and yet for the cause of slavery and doing that, could it have been done differently? It would be nice if so, but nonetheless, that was the date by which that historical pronouncement. That is current law. The difference here is that changing it from the third Saturday to June 19th of each year. I can understand that that June 19th date has political, has importance, is important to you. And I would agree to that change. When I go back to the other one, the issue there, this is R61, section 69. There we are striking language, current Columbus Day, as well as adding Juneteenth, June 19. And so we have, I do not support Section 69. There are many issues here, by the way. The Italians, who had a lot to do with the inception of our country, and I suspect many of them fought for abolition of slavery as well, because in our country at that time, New York and other places like that, and the North as well. I am not comfortable making that change in this state law. And so I will accept the change in Section 3 on page R4, but not Section 69. Mr. Chair, if we need to separate the motion, as we do, I'm not quite sure in a conference committee when you have a motion including two sections, but that is what I would like to do.
Senator Dibble, it's your motion. Do you want to withdraw the motion and just do Section 3 on page R4, or it's your motion, or do you want to vote on the motion as you originally made it?
Mr. Chair, I think it is the right of Senator Kiffmeyer to separate the two from each other, like draw the line. We can vote on one part and then the other. I'm just looking with a little more precision here.
Well, Senator Dibble, you could withdraw your motion and make the motion on Section 3 and then make a motion on and have the vote on section on page 61.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just do that. That sounds simpler. So I'll withdraw my motion, and I'll make a new motion.
Motion's been withdrawn. Senator Dibble.
So, Mr. Chair, I will move Section 3, as described on R4-A2, and request a roll call.
Motion's been made on section to include Section 3 on page R4, on Section 3 of the House language, and a roll call has been asked for. Will the LA please take the roll?
Certainly. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Murphy.
I had a question.
Oh, 1 second, then. I'm sorry, I didn't realize the senator.
I had a question, Senator Dibble.
Representative Murphy, you want to ask your question? I'm sorry.
Chair, we're in the middle of a roll call vote. Can we do that?
Can we do it after roll case? Representative Murphy, then.
Representative Murphy. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Representative Cagle.
Aye.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Aye.
Senator Newman is excused. Senator Howe.
Nay.
Senator Jasinski. Senator Jasinski. Senator Dibble.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Chair Nelson, there are 6 ayes, 4 nays, and 1 absent.
You have to divide it by the House and Senate.
Oh, my apologies.
On the conference committee, it has to be a majority on both parties, sides.
My apologies. In the House, there are 4 ayes and 1 nay. And in the Senate, There is one aye and three nays and one absent. Two ayes, my apologies.
So the Senate, two ayes and three nays, and it didn't carry on both sides, so the motion fails. Senator Dibble, do you want to do the second part?
Mr. Chair, I think, I'm sorry, how did that last vote come out?
It was two ayes on the Senate, three nays, and one excused. Oh.
There's only four of us present, so there's two and two.
Two and two? Okay.
Two ayes, one nay, and one no vote.
So, Alec, what do you have, Alec?
For the Senate, there should be two ayes, one nay, and two absent.
So I guess the numbers reported to me wrong. So whether on the Senate side, there were two ayes, one nay, and two absent. So the motion carries on the Senate. And there were on the House, there were four ayes and one nay. So the House, the motion carries on the House. So the motion carries and the language will be included in.
No, it has to be a majority on both sides, and there is no majority.
Oh, they didn't have enough side. Okay. Thank you. So it did not. The motion did not carry. There was not a majority on the Senate side. There has to be three aye votes to pass. It's a little confusing when we're in conference committee.
Right.
So Senator Dibble, what is your pleasure?
Thank you. So Mr. Chair, I would just make the same motion for Section 69. With a roll call request.
Senator Dibble moves that to include the language from Section 69 of the House language on page R61-A2 of the side-by-side.
So.
And the roll call has been requested, and again, it needs to be divided out between House and Senate, so.
My apologies.
Chair, take the roll.
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Hornstein.
Aye.
Representative Cagle.
Aye.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Aye. No, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, my apologies.
That's
okay. Senator Kiffmeyer?
No. Mm-hmm.
Senator Newman is excused. Senator Howe.
Nay.
Senator Jasinski.
No.
Senator Dibble.
Yes.
Chair Nelson, the House has four ayes and zero nays, and one nay, my apologies. And the Senate has one aye, three nays, and one excuse.
So it did not carry on both sides, the House and the Senate, so therefore the motion does not... Didn't carry on the one side when it has to carry on both sides. So the motion fails. Thank you, Senator Dibble. Is there any further discussion of the conference committee? And is there any other?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have the our general counsel speak to this a motion and the rules of the prevailing vote.
Madam Chair and members, the motion on including Section 3 on the House side, the vote was a majority vote on each body, which is a prevailing motion.
Ms. James, and then conclude. So because there were two absent, this is on Section 3.
Madam Chair, on the Senate side, there were two votes yea and one vote nay. So
that would
the
be majority
of those voting were...
So, Mr. Chair, what that means is that on Section 3, the vote did prevail and is adopted. Okay. So the change is from the third Saturday that it would be that specific date of June 19.
When the bill passes both bodies. Anyway, but yes.
But prevail.
It'll be in the sides of the conference.
Yeah, yes.
The language will be included in the bill as it leaves the conference committee. But thank you, Ms. James, for that. There was some confusion and different people whispering in my ear at the same time. But what? It's good that we have our good staff.
Listen out of both ear at the same time.
Sometimes I can, but it just
when your wife talks.
Well, my wife. Anyway. Thank you, Ms. James. It's good that we have good counsel in front of us that help us through these matters. Again, I don't see anything else. There was an amendment that was brought forward that I need to look at. That was just given to us just before the meeting. And we'll be probably taking care of that at another meeting. And Senator Kiffmeyer, are we going to be having a meeting tomorrow? You have the gavel.
Yes, we are going to hold the meeting. A conference committee meeting as scheduled at 1 o'clock, but please stay tuned. Just as today, you started a little bit later, we will as well. And so there aren't a lot of outstanding policy only kinds of things. So we're continuing to work and appreciate all of your input, everybody. All of the extra efforts that were made by, I see many of you there that were helpful, so thank you very much. But stay tuned, but scheduled for 1.
And members, we have exchanged a couple of offers and we're working on those, and so hopefully we can come to an agreement and wrap up the bill. And with that, members, if there's nothing else, we are adjourned.